As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome once again to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, on the show that introduces you to the most interesting people in the Ville. Once again, I fulfilled my mission this week. I can't wait to tell you about my guests and let you hear my interviews with both Andre Woodson and the Sam and Amy Patel and Jeff Stumm. It's a special edition, special interview that we will have for you in the second half of the show. But first up, I want to talk a little bit about how you're doing. You know, for me, it was a hectic, to say the least, Derby week. I was involved in a lot of Kentucky Derby events. Went to the race and had a great view of the race and really enjoyed it. None of the long shots came in. I read some post-Derby pieces in Insider Louisville by former Rusty Satellite guest Mark Coombs, who talked about how this was an unusual race, that there were seven horses that were head and shoulders above the rest, so no long shots were able to break through, so there weren't any big payoffs. The winner, American Pharaoh, I did just because I felt like that was going to – I really did feel like the horse was going to win. I did put a little bit of money on American Pharaoh. I really liked It's a Knockout, which was the horse owned by Starlight Racing and Jack Wolf. And I would like to remind you right here at the first part of the show, if you'd like to join us for breakfast, Jack and his wife Lori Wolf will be speaking at the Breakfast of Champions on Monday, May 11th. For $20, you get a hot – breakfast and some of the most fun, active, go-getter type people you'd ever want to network with at 7:30 on a Monday morning. So I invite you to come to my – I've been doing that Breakfast of Champions for years. It's a wonderful, wonderful event, and we always have great speakers. I'm really anxious. You heard Jack Wolf last week here on the Rusty Satellite Show, but he'll be speaking with his wife at that event. So that'll be great. So you can go to Facebook and look up Breakfast of Champions Louisville, and you'll find the information about the breakfast if you'd like to go. So, again, I want to tell you to stay tuned. I got an opportunity to do something special this week, and that was to do some video on one of my interviews. And so the interview I did down at Mightily, the advertising agency, remember Rusty Satellite guest Pip Pullen, he holds court down there, and he's the man in charge. And anyway, I got this interview set up with Sam and Amy Patel and Jeff Stumm, and as you'll hear in the second half of the show, that they are involved in promoting a new beverage that you can find on grocery store shelves, and it's a chai tea latte, and it's very good. And if you like what you hear, if you want to see the video, I'm going to have it up on YouTube. It'll be up on LouisvilleKY.com, so you can see see the magic as it happens. It's not just an audio show this week, but we'll get to that in a second. But first up, I want to introduce Andre Woodson, who is just got some amazing records. And, you know, you don't think if you're like a new football fan and you just know about the University of Kentucky football program for the last couple of years, it's hard to imagine that that a Kentucky quarterback was all SEC, that led the league, led the SEC in touchdown passes. He set an NCAA record for consecutive pass attempts without an interception, and it was two times the MVP of the Music City Bowl way back in 2006 and 2007. Andre Woodson is had a very brief pro career and has moved to Louisville with his wife. And he has an inspiring story that I'll let him tell you. The story, part of it, you can find in Insider Louisville. My health piece this week is about the March of Dimes walk that is taking place on Saturday down at Waterfront Park. And Andre is part, and his wife Erica and their young son, Andre III, are the Kentucky Family of the Year for the March of Dimes. And I'm going to just get out of the way here and let you hear my interview with Andre Woodson. And today I'm privileged to be with a former Kentucky All-SEC quarterback, Andre Woodson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
Andre, a lot of people are familiar with your name, and like many athletes that are in the headlines every day for a couple of years, a lot of people don't know where you ended up. I know you had a pro career, and tell us a little bit about where you are now.
So I'm currently with Amazon Corporations, PR specialist, community specialist, and doing a lot of things in the aspects of trying to build the a little bit more of community relations, engagements, a lot of PR, okay, different things. So
okay, so and I know you haven't been out of football long. Is it kind of tough to finally let go of your athletic career? And
yeah, it's been challenging. You know, you have to figure out new avenues to try to strive in, and it's been a little bit of a struggle trying to find my path. I was recently with a collegiate coaching, and I just felt it was a little time consuming, and I decided to go to a different profession, and now I found myself with Amazon, and I'm really happy.
And it's great, you know, a lot of athletes I know don't go back and get their degrees, but you went back to UK after your NFL career ended, and how was that? I mean, you had it wasn't like you had one more class to go, right?
No, unfortunately, I had quite a few credits to go, but fortunately, I worked with some really great people that supported me, and they wanted me to encourage me to come back to the university to finish my degree, and so that's the path I decided to take, and I had to, fortunately, my wife, she insisted that I go back, so I had no choice.
Well, that's good. She's obviously a good influence, and that's what I really wanted to talk to you about. This weekend is the March of Dimes big walk, mm-hmm, and you are heavily involved in that. Mm-hmm. Just tell me a little bit about that story with your wife and your young son.
Yeah, my son was born 2 months early. He was a premature baby. He was born 31 weeks, 5 days. He was actually, at the time, 2 pounds, 15 and a half ounces, so fairly small.
You were telling me how small that is.
Yes, that's small enough to fit my wedding band around his entire hand.
Wow.
So it was, extremely small. And as you can imagine, I wasn't too familiar with March of Dimes and exactly what their cause was, but they were extremely helpful. My wife, she went through a couple incidents where it was just like my son, she was fighting for her life. So I found myself in a very difficult situation where I was constantly either going to see my son or going to see my wife and exactly trying to check up on their well-being. So it was a very difficult time frame for me, just in terms of trying to make sure that they were both okay. But March of Dimes did a fantastic job basically trying to support me and comfort me that everything would be okay.
And so in this period, and I know that you and your son share a birthday.
Yes, right? We do.
And it was 2 years ago he was born. How's he doing now?
He's doing really well. He has no complications. He is a very active young kid. And he's, I believe the phrase is the terrible twos.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're seeing quite a bit of that. He's, you know, he's become very spoiled, but it's been a blessing. I mean, we're very thankful that he's got to this phase in his life, and he's doing really well.
Okay, and great. And your wife, I understand, is recovered too?
Yes, she's recovered really well. You know, right now we're actually discussing on whether or not we want to try to have a second child. So we're very excited about this and the fact that both of them are doing extremely well.
Okay. Okay, now tell me, you have a specific role with the March of Dimes and the big event this weekend. Tell me what all you're involved in and trying to make that successful.
Yeah, we were actually titled this year as the 2015 March of Dimes Family of the Year for the Greater Louisville. And so our biggest role is to bring more awareness to the actual event for the cause, as well as have people join our team, and then from that point try to donate. You can actually donate by going to www.marchforbabies.org/Andres Army, A-N-D-R-E-S, Army.
Okay.
And so, you know, our biggest thing is just trying to make more people aware of what the cause is, exactly what's taking place with a lot of these babies. They're born too small or too soon, and because of that, they have a lot of complications, and March of Dimes is there to assist, support these families, and as well donate a lot of money into a lot of technology that takes place to help provide for these families and get them to understand that everything will be okay.
Sure, sure. I'm trying to imagine how difficult that would be with the size of your child. Tell me just what you know or a little bit about the technology, because I'm sure 50 years ago your son wouldn't have made it, right? But
no.
The technology now, how did that assist you in the process?
Yeah, it's actually amazing to see some of the technology. You have a lot of incubators. You have a lot of different type of equipment that they're constantly utilizing that's helping with breathing, helping with blood pressure, helping with brain functioning, activity, just trying to make sure that everything is working correctly on the child, making sure there's no complications, and as well as they're implementing several other things for the parents, you know, with helping them just bring in different type of groups. That way they can vent. That way they can communicate with one another. That way that there's more education on, you know, what's actually occurring with their children, with the family. So, I mean, they're doing a lot of things that they're basically there to support the families. And I have to admit, I wasn't too aware of what was taken or what was occurring at the time. But now, kind of looking back, obviously, without March of Dimes, we would have been in a very difficult situation.
Right. And I can imagine for our listeners that they don't know. I mean, it was 2 months premature. You didn't take young Andre home for a while, right?
Right. Andre was actually in the hospital for 45 days, so it was a difficult time for us because we were having traveling back and forth. I was having to go back to work, so, you know, it's a challenge when you realize you have to leave your son or your child there at the hospital, and you have to come back the following day or a week later, whatever it may be. And for us, it became one of those situations where we had to trust in March of Dimes. We had to trust in the NICU unit. We had to trust all these individuals with our own child. And we had to, you know, have faith that everything was going to be fine. And as you can imagine, that becomes a very difficult situation because you're leaving your son's well-being or their life in someone else's hands.
Well, I would imagine it's just challenging overall, changing your lifestyle to make that arrangement. But I imagine you celebrate birthdays a little harder.
Yeah, that we do, absolutely. And the funny thing is, my son, basically, every single time he has a milestone, he is taken away from my milestone. So when he turns 1, I turn 30. He turns 21, I turn 50. So technically, it doesn't matter about me anymore. It's all about him. He has my wife now. He has her heart, and now he has my name as well. So it's you know, obviously it's been a complete blessing. We're so thankful to have him, and you know, and he's just a huge joy.
Okay. Okay. Well, great. And I hope everybody comes out to the walk on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's a very important event, and it sounds like you're going to have a lot of people there and a lot of money raised. So congratulations on that. let me switch topics and just ask you a little bit about Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hear about Amazon, the big employer here in southern Indiana, but what sort of things do you do? I know you get involved in community events and, mm-hmm. and do PR for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Amazon, I mean, we're definitely a growing company. You know, we try to invest in our associates. Right now we're offering up to... we currently have 2,500 full-time employees that are in the Jeffersonville, Indiana area. Obviously, we're providing a lot of opportunity for the associates. We're customer-driven, so one of our main focuses is to ensure that our customers are getting the highest quality possible. And from that point, you know, we're trying to find more ways of being innovative with our technology, with our programs. Currently, we're offering those career choice programs where we actually prepay up to 95% for the tuition for any associates. That way, if they want to go back to school and they finish the demand field, we actually provide that, as well as our comprehensive benefit packages where we offer 401k, stocks of the company, and healthcare from day one. Okay. So we're extremely excited about what we're doing, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for any associates who want to work there for the fulfillment centers.
Well, I just want to tell you, as an Amazon Prime member, I'm glad I met you, because now I have somebody to go to with any complaints or advice
that
on what you should offer, right?
That is right.
It's really great. It's really a great customer service company, I will say that. So we'll finish up here and talk a little more football. When you're out of the game, do you become everybody's different. Are you a rabid fan or do you ignore it? Or how do you feel about football these days?
You know what? It's been difficult for me to watch it a little bit, especially in NFL, because I felt my career was obviously going to go a completely different path. But nonetheless, I've been following Kentucky football. I've been trying to keep up with them. I'm really excited about what the future holds for those guys. I think Coach Stoops has done a phenomenal job in the recruiting aspect. Obviously, they need to win, but I think in time that'll change. You know, I'm just excited to see exactly what's gonna take place this season, because I think they have a lot of talent. It's just obviously you got to take that talent, you have to win, and you have to develop. So it should be interesting. We'll see.
We got a little college team down the road here. I don't know if you're aware of that. Do you ever go follow them?
I actually went to the Louisville and Florida State game this past season, and you know, I have to say, I mean, I think the Louisville fans are doing a fantastic job. I thought the atmosphere there was amazing. You know, that's definitely what college football is all about. And you know, Petrino, I mean, you know, he's one of the best coaches, you know, in the nation. So you know, obviously the sky's the limit for the University of Louisville. I think they're going to continue to grow, and I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of years you'll see them competing for the ACC title.
Okay. Well, we welcome you to come on the Cardinal team if you like, but I know there's a lot to be excited about, especially this time of year, because
mm-hmm.
You know, we're undefeated and everybody is, and it's the new season is very exciting to look forward to. And you got a little guy that, you know, has he got a potential as a football player, you think?
I'm training him already. So we're doing three-step drop back as we talk right now. So, yeah, he's, you know, it's he's still developing. He's growing into his body. He is long. He, mm-hmm. he needs to fill out a little bit more. But the funny thing is he can actually throw a football really well. Like, I mean, like for his age, you wouldn't expect a child to throw the football the way he does. So, I'm going to start to push him a little bit. We'll see exactly where he's at in a couple more years. But mother is, she's very determined that he will not be playing football. So we'll
I know
see.
Women
yes.
like that. Yeah, we'll see. Talk him into
yes,
it.
We'll see exactly how that plays out in the future.
All right, Andre, thanks for joining me on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you for having me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And a big thank you to Andre Woodson for appearing on the Rusty Satellite Show. If you want to see pictures of his young son and his wife, they are on my story, which is posted at Insider Louisville. I encourage you to check that out. Passport Health Plan also sponsors that series of posts that I do, as well as the Rusty Satellite Show. I want to mention real quickly my sponsor, Louis Detroit Authentics Detroit Style Pizza. It's a wonderful place. They've got a new patio open up there, and so you can sit outside and enjoy this great weather that we're having right there on Taylorsville Road in the old, what a lot of people remember is the old Ferd Grassani's place. I think I'm going to go up there this Thursday for the music that they're going to have. They got some good old rock and roll music and some great pizza. So Louis Authentic Detroit Style Pizza is the place to be. And you might see me up there. You never know. So anyway, moving on, this is the part of the show where I talk about things that are going on in the city. And there's some couple of big post-Derby news stories that are going on. We basically get over with Derby, and then we can get back to for one thing, politics. And we have a race for governor coming up, a very hotly contested Republican primary. There was a debate of sorts with Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio on Tuesday, where the dominant story, of course, is not about what like Matt Bevin and Will Scott, what their ideas are for the Commonwealth and what they think. That, of course, the story is a scandal, and it just broke. And if you haven't been following this, it's sort of a fascinating story. James Comer, the agriculture commissioner. If you're sort of on the inside, and I had Joe Girth on the show, the Courier-Journal reporter, a few weeks ago, and he sort of hinted at this to me, that there's been this rumor going around about this woman that Comer dated in college that had these accusations that he had been abusive toward her. And we didn't know. I mean, everybody in the media knew about this story, knew about this rumor, but no one was willing to publish it or broadcast it because, well, the evidence is shaky. It's one woman's word, and she lives in New York, and her name is Marilyn Thomas, I believe. And she dated Comer. Comer admits that they dated back in the back in about 1990-91 at Western Kentucky University, my alma mater. And she has come out with all these charges. And what brought it to the attention, what finally pushed it over and the Courier-Journal decided to publish this story, was that the woman who, as I said, lives in New York, wrote a 4-page letter, and the Courier-Journal did not publish the entire letter, but they published portions of it, including an accusation that Comer took this young woman to get an abortion. And that accusation, you know, these things, if we knew them to be true, if there was some evidence and proof, it would probably kill Comer's career. But there's not. The evidence is sketchy at best, and the Courier put out this story, and there's all these sort of backstories about what's been going on involving a Lexington blogger, et cetera, and Hal Heiner's campaign, you know, the Louisville former Metro councilman. His campaign is accused of sort of being involved in the effort to get this push into the public, and it's a big media story. The race itself is very close between Heiner and Comer, and it remains to be seen whether this will this happen. We won't know, I guess, how it'll be affected. Comer, of course, strongly denies all the accusations and claims that the relationship was not of the magnitude that the woman made it out to be. And there's a quote from the woman's mother and one of her friends that knows Comer. I tell you, from a media point of view, I really question the Courier's decision to publish the story based on the evidence. It's a big dilemma because you have this woman on who was willing to go on the record. I think rather than taking it from this letter, had I been in charge and making those decisions, and I don't know why a TV station hasn't done this, but basically you should go to New York and interview this woman and get a picture of her and talk to her about this and get some evidence rather than just taking a letter that she wrote and sent to the Courier and using that as the basis of the story. It's a hotly debated topic, and it's going to add some spice and fire to the Republican gubernatorial primary, that's for sure. So that's what's going on in the political arena around here this week. Couple of stories I was interested in. I really found interesting, and one was an announcement by Trinity High School that they're going to start doing random drug tests on their students. Now, this seems like a good idea on the surface to me. It does in the story. Here's what's going to happen if a kid comes up positive, and the tests are going to be all kinds of things, anything from ecstasy to marijuana to anything that's illegal. If a test comes up positive, the young man will be brought before the school officials with his parents. and they'll have a little talking to. And according to the story, if it happens again, if there's a second random drug test and a second test and it's positive, it will result in expulsion. Now, it seems to me for like athletes and people that are really interested in staying in school that this would be a great deterrent to doing drugs. And as we know, drugs are such a big part of campus life, it seems. You know, this test does not have anything to do with alcohol, but it's such a big part of campus life. And there's so many college athletes, and this really surprises me. College athletes apparently do a lot of marijuana. That's what I hear. I hear there's a lot of marijuana done by college athletes. And it doesn't make sense to me why universities don't adopt this random drug testing policy. It would certainly eliminate a lot of the drug use. Because, I mean, if you had the fear, say you were an athlete, you were on scholarship, and you knew that if you had to undergo a random drug test and that if you tested positive, you would be suspended from the team, I think it'd be a powerful incentive not to do that kind of behavior. But it hasn't happened on college campuses. And I'm sure there's plenty of reasons why not, but it hasn't happened. So we'll see how that works over at Trinity. Trinity's not the first school in America to do this, but the first school in Louisville. I know one of the parochial high schools in Indiana has been doing it for a little while. So certainly that would be, I would certainly expect like St. X and some of the other Catholic schools to follow suit. We'll see if that happens. But it's sort of a big story around here. Again, a series of things that are happening to some buildings around town that are of interest to a lot of folks. Back in the area where I grew up, Colonial Gardens on the corner of Newcutt and Kenwood Drive, my old stopping grounds. The Colonial Gardens building had its heyday, but it's been closed for a long time. I'm reading a Philip Bailey story in the Courier Journal that the Metro Government's Codes and Regulations Department hit itself. Actually, a little while back, the city bought Colonial Gardens from private owners with plans to redevelop the land, but they sort of have to wait. And Councilman Dan Johnson, it's in his district, he got involved in this because they have to wait until this Little Caesars restaurants clears out, and Little Caesars has a lease that's not up for a little bit, so the property continues to sit and deteriorate. And it's just sort of an interesting story how these inspectors went over there and basically, I guess, didn't know that it was a city-owned property. They didn't have to do that. So keep it up. Colonial Gardens is been in the news a lot over the past 5 years, and nothing's happening yet over there. Another famous Louisville location. If you many of you are familiar with Kalen's over on Newburgh Road, famously the home of the original cheeseburger is how they used to advertise themselves. They closed about 5 years ago and sold out to another operator who operated the restaurant and bar as Mulligan's. And that went on for about 5 years. But last fall, they closed, and it has been closed. That building is going up for auction. And the new owners who bought it from the original Kalen family did a lot of upgrades. It's pretty nice. It'd be nice to see somebody come in and buy that corner and reopen the restaurant. But I don't know. I got some great memories of Kalen's. I remember taking a date there in high school and being able to buy a drink before I was old enough to. So anyway, that's just another story. And if you didn't hear it last week, kind of got buried in the Kentucky Derby news, but Jim Porter's over on Lexington Road announced that MSD is going to buy that building for $5 million. Not immediately, though. Porter's is still open. You can, you know, the Wrinkle Room, all that, that's still there. You can, and they still have live bands playing. It's a happening spot. It's sort of caters to an older crowd, I would say. Although one time I saw Paul Thorne there, and it was great. I've been there a couple of times to see bands, and it's sort of a landmark, and it's going to be sad to see it go. The owner was quoted as saying he's looking for another location. He's getting $5 million from MSD for the property, so he's got some time. He's going to be looking for perhaps another venue to open up as Jim Porter's. So I'm sure that will happen. But anyway, that gets you caught up on the changes in at Jim Porter's, at Colonial Gardens, at Kalen's, all those places in the news this week in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you didn't catch it, I just did want to mention a lot of this stuff is on LouisvilleKY.com. That's the website I own. I call it the Pulse of the City. And including, if you didn't get enough Derby news last week, my photographer, Bill Breimer, is doing a great job out there, going to a lot of events and taking some great shots. And there's a photo collage of the Derby on LouisvilleKY.com, as well as plenty of other great photos. the photography on the site is, I'm really proud of it. It's really, really gotten better. And also want to mention my colleague Jackie Bentley is helping, a former TV reporter. She's posting a lot of stuff on the site, and she's done a gardening, got a series on gardening. She lives over in the South End, and she's an avid gardener, and you can follow what she's doing in her garden every week. She's trying to post something about her experiences as a gardener every week. So Jackie's great, and I hope you will take time to go over to LouisvilleKY.com and read some of her stuff. So there you go. So let's get on to the last part of the show, and I'm very excited about this. My friend Dan Petrick has a company called Switcher Studio. He and his partner Nick, it's really a fascinating technology that they have put together. It's sort of a TV studio in a box. All you need really is this software, and you can create a full-fledged TV show with edits and multiple shots and as many cameras as you want, and the cameras can be iPhones. It's a really fascinating technology, and we used it to do a video of this upcoming interview I had with the folks Sam and Amy Patel and Jeff Stumm. We're talking about the chai tea latte that has just been released. It's just in stores right now. I'm telling you, this is a very timely piece. This product, I've tried it. It's great. And it was fascinating to hear the story of how this came about. And now you can catch this interview on YouTube. I'll be publishing that through LouisvilleKY.com and on YouTube. So look for that if you want to see the magic of editing and TV and how we put all this together. It's really fun. But right now I'm going to get out of the way and let you hear my interview. Sam and Amy Patel came up with the idea for the Banyan Chai Tea Latte, and Jeff Stumm is helping with marketing. Jeff is the founder of Ruby Red Tea and now has his own branding business. It's really, really kind of cool. So here we go. Here's the interview. All right, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. We're here at the Mightily Studios in downtown Louisville. I have some special guests today. I have Sam and Amy Patel and Jeff Stumm, who have this great product. This great product right here. It's a chai tea in a bottle. I love chai tea. And Sam, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about how the product went from an idea to something you can buy on the shelf at a store.
Chai Tea Latte is, I'm the CEO, Amy Patel, my wife is a founder, and it was her idea, and we were always thinking about something to do to pass it on to our kids.
Okay.
They know of it, they drink it, they enjoy it, but they don't know how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy came up with the idea, and we basically ran with it. And we have three flavors right now, masala.
Okay.
We have ginger and vanilla. Masala is a dash of spices. Vanilla is a little bit smooth and sweet, and ginger is also smooth.
Okay, and you don't have a history of being in this industry, right?
No, this is completely new.
Okay,
and we wanted to pass it on from Indian tradition to more in U.S. and how people would able to enjoy it from our home to their home.
All right. Well, Amy, let me ask you. You came up with the idea, so how did you come up with that? I read the story on your website about the hanging out and talking and drinking chai tea, right?
Yeah. I was watching my dad all the time when I was little. He was making tea, and he loves my tea, so one day we were talking to each other, like, let's do something new, something different, so I was like, let's make a chai, and then we tried it for 1.5 years, and here we are right now.
Yeah. So tell me what stage it's in, because a lot of people don't know, like, if it's on store shelves, where do you get this? This is great packaging, it's great tasting, as I just figured out. Where is it?
Well, right now, we're working with Spice Food, Jeff Stumm, and he's helping us to explore the avenue and trying to do local, regional, and national level.
Wow.
And
okay.
Jeff and his team is helping us trying to explore that one step at a time and take it.
All right. Well, let me ask Jeff, bring in Jeff Stumm, who is, I just reminisce with you in the hallway. We met many, many years ago when you were out peddling Ruby Red Tea on the street. And I said, I know that guy. And so here we are. Now you're involved in this business. Tell me a little bit about
Spicewood and how it's involved in this.
Yeah, so the experience that we had with Ruby Red Tea over the years gave us an awful lot of knowledge as it relates to getting a brand started from the very conception all the way through to creating a national brand, getting it through distribution systems and distributed nationally. Prior to that, I had worked for Brown-Forman, and my partner in Spicewood also worked at Brown-Forman. We ran the Southern Comfort business together for multiple years. So a year and a half ago, we formed Spicewood Consulting, Spicewood Brand. Sam was our first non-alcoholic client, and he, just through common interest and common knowledge of folks here in town through GLI in particular, and a common knowledge of Lisa Siebert specifically, we were put together. So we got involved with Sam almost from the start of the branding exercise, and worked with a company called KYK to help create the brand name with, you know, big influence from Sam and Amy. Worked through that process, then worked through the label creation process with Mightily, found co-packers in Chicago that could do dairy. There are no local dairy co-packers that would take on small projects like this. About 8 months later, finally got something in the bottle, and now my company, Spicewood Branding, also runs a small distributorship, and just this week we started landing the product in stores. I personally put the product on shelves in Value Market yesterday, and in Lucky's as well. So it's kind of the usual suspect people that support local brands that will be carrying it, the Lots of Pasta, the Value Markets of Louisville, Rainbow Blossom. We'll have this all the way over to Cincinnati and Jungle Gyms and in Lexington and Good Foods Co-op, and we're working on getting it into Whole Foods as well, but there'll be 50 or so accounts by the time this airs that will actively have the product on store shelves.
I'm looking at the bottle and all that. Does it I guess what people want to know, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah, so the fair market...
I know you go to like Honey Brothers and get a chai, it's like $5, right?
Well, so maybe we need to take a price increase. But we line priced this exactly going after the Starbucks dairy-based products, the Frappuccinos and things like that. So on the very high side, the $369 is where you'll find it. Some of the introductory pricing could be as low as $299, but it's a 15.7-ounce bottle at approximately $349, which is exactly where Starbucks is, in that exact same size.
Okay. Now, Jeff, I know you've been in like the beverage industry for a long time, but Sam and Amy, this is kind of a new business venture. What made you choose, you know, this avenue?
It's something unique, but it's actually touched us to home, back home in India. Mm-hmm. We've been here in U.S. for 28 years.
Okay.
And this is our new home. But at the same time, I think people are very open-minded to try different things and trying different flavors. So this was a unique opportunity for us to bring it and explore that avenue. And good thing about our chai tea latte is people could enjoy it hot or cold and any time of the day. And even with some mixers if they really want to. So it is.
Well, there you go, Jeff. I need some of that. I noticed Sam brought samples, but I don't see any of the alcohol brands.
So. Still yet to be unveiled. We're going to focus on this for now.
But I think it's a uniqueness. Even kids could enjoy it, family gathering. So it is a different avenue, but I think people are loving it, and we're just going to take one step at a time and take care of Louisville. And
okay, now Amy, I am curious always about people that come here from other places. Y'all been in Louisville 28 years, correct?
Yeah, he's been here for 28 years, and I've been here for 20 years.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
And we've been married for 18 years.
Wow. Well, good for you. Why? If you were living in India, why did you choose Louisville?
Oh, I had some relatives here and just came here. So that's how my dad's is.
Okay, and you almost have other businesses.
Definitely, I started my first business up in Econ Lodge in Fort Knox, right outside in Radcliffe, and been here, in Kentucky since 98. Before that, I was in Pennsylvania for over 10 years.
Okay, so you're in the hotel industry.
Correct.
I guess. Okay, well, it's very good to you. You got this great product launched, and it's very exciting. I had an opportunity to have some over at the Thunder event over at Buckheads, and it was just a a blast, and it doesn't go well with beer, but you know that. I was interested. I'm very interested. You know, it's amazing to have a local drink product, and Jeff, maybe you can speak to this. It's challenging because the drink and the soft drink industry is so dominated by the two biggies.
Right? Yeah, the Coke and Pepsi's of the world do have a stranglehold, but I think it's fairly common knowledge that carbonated sodas have lost a fair amount of market share, and consumers themselves are looking for new beverage experiences, especially things with an international flair, things that convey from can only buy in a made-for setting, like a Heine Brothers. They'll make a rooibos tea for you if you choose. Sure. They'll make a chai for you if you choose. However, the grab-and-go aspect of this is, in this particular case, is extraordinary. To make this from scratch, you need a bunch of ingredients. You need dairy, you need tea. Mm-hmm. Combine it all together lovingly and very specifically. Mm-hmm. So now with this, you open the bottle. And in this particular case, there's a very specific niche for chai tea lattes. There's only one other major player in the country. It's very, very nice product, but it's specific to the natural food world. And so ours is natural, but it's also shelf stable because of the co-packing process we use. So we feel like there's a great opportunity to be really a first to market with our very specific formula, yeah. Very authentic story, and wonderful branding. The Banyan Tree story and the story of Amy's father and how they brought this to market, I think is a story that will help propel it and get it adopted by consumers.
Okay, and I'm guessing all these years before you came out with this product for the mess, was this what you have at your home? Yeah. You used to have your own recipe?
Yeah, I have my own recipe.
Okay, well, it's a secret.
It is kind of.
I was going to see if you were just going to tell me what the recipe was and I could go home and make it myself.
Nutmeg, ginger, cinnamon, cardamom.
And it's almost like a same concept as pizza, you know, or sandwiches. You have same ingredients, but it's proportional. How you put it, how you lay it out. That's mm-hmm. what key aspect of it. And our product, chai tea lattes, it's all natural flavors, gluten-free and kosher. So that's speaks to specific millennials and people who could enjoy it at the office, at workplaces.
Yeah, well, I love it. You know, when I can remember how many years ago when coffee shops started being the thing to do, and you have business meetings there and all that, and I go, I don't like coffee, so I had to find something to drink, and I've always ordered chai, so now, you know, and then I try to figure out how to do it at home, and now I got this is the key, so that's going to be fun to see how it grows and how it gets going in the market, and I'm sure Jeff's going to distribute. Jeff, before we go, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your company, about what other products you're involved in.
Yeah, so we first started Spicewood Branding with the intent of being specifically focused on the micro distillery world, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, exploding. As we got started, it was burgeoning. Now it's exploding. There's a lot of micro distilled products around the country. We also knew that we wanted to develop some of our own products based on our knowledge of the industry. But as we got into it, we found that there were folks that also needed our help from a food standpoint as well as a non-alcoholic standpoint. So our hope is that we could do as many as 6 to 8 brand launches in the next 12 months. Specific to Spicewood owned brands, we do have 3 spirit brands, 3.5, hopefully 4, that we have formulated and have worked up the branding on and are now waiting for TTB approval. So to go along with our brokerage portfolio of spirits, we'll have 4 brands that we actually own to do very much the same, to get out locally here and then regionally and then try to build it out. And we feel like we've got the skill set to do that for both the non-alcoholic beverages as well as the spirit items.
All right.
So we're doing a lot of work and having an awful lot of fun. This is the fun stage. The brand management stage is where the work becomes serious.
Yeah, well, it all seems like a lot of fun. I wish you guys all the best of luck. I hope to have this regularly in my fridge, and you know, it's really good. I'm not just saying that. So I really enjoy it.
And that was a lot of fun. That chai tea latte is very, very tasty. I'm hoping they'll like load up a truckload of it out here, some cases of it over here to my house, and just because it'd be a nice thing to do. It reminds me of one time, a long time ago, and for Business First, somebody sent me something like that. You know, you're not supposed to accept that kind of thing, but you know, those were different times. Hey, that's wrapping up the 96th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm very excited about that. Hey, I'm going to plan a party to celebrate number 100. We'll probably have it at Louie Louie's in about 3 or 4 weeks, you know, right along the time of the 100th show. So make your plans there. I'd love to have a bunch of listeners come out and join some of the guests that have been on the show. It's amazing. We've had almost 200 of the most interesting people in the Ville have appeared on the Rusty Satellite Show since we started back in, I think it was June or July of 2013. Amazing that this thing has lasted so long, in part because of thanks to my great sponsor, Passport Health Plans. I really appreciate their support of this broadcast. And I want to remind you, you can check out the second interview on this show on video. And thanks to my friends at Switcher Studio, Dan Patrick, Nick Mattingly. They have a fantastic technology that hopefully we'll do a couple more. We'll see how it goes. And I've already talked to some people about being on the show next week. So it's just going to keep rolling. And I appreciate all of you all you folks that listen in faithfully every week to the show, and those of you that just listen every once in a while, that's fine too. I really appreciate it. This is Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.